We will have communion after the sermon. Another April Fool, just to keep you guessing. Could you smell it? Could you smell the nard? Could you smell the perfume when Mary anointed Jesus' feet? Oh, my goodness, the smell, the odor, that just filling the room, keeping it for his burial. We know that we didn't get a chance to celebrate Jesus after his triumphs. We didn't get a chance to anoint the king. So this is that anointing, and we hear that, and we celebrate that. But I'm going to talk about bona fides. You ever heard the term bona fides? It's an odd term. I don't think I'd ever used it in a sentence. And bona fides are those documents that legitimize us or give proof to us. You know, someone's bona fides. For example, on my wall in my office, I have my certificate of ordination and a certificate of graduation. Those are my bona fides. Those are the certificates that say I am eligible to be the pastor of the church, bishop's appointment, that sort of thing. All of you carry a bona fide, by the way. You have a driver's license? That's what that is. That's saying you have been tested and approved and certified, and so here is your bona fide that allows you to be the driver of a motor vehicle. Didn't realize you were carrying that around with you, did you? I suppose you ought to know it's probably a good thing you're carrying it if you're driving. I think it's a ticket if you don't. Used to be when I was a kid. Is that still true? How many police officers do we have in here? Bona fides. Bona fides are what Paul is listing in Philippians 3. Did you hear him describe them? Here is what qualifies Saul. You realize Saul was his name before he became Paul. He renamed. So Saul's bona fides, he's circumcised on the eighth day. That's the law. That's the rules. It's in the Bible. It tells us that this is what has to happen. And he was indeed. He's a member of the people of Israel. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember the 12 tribes? This is important. You belong. You have heritage. You have connection. You have a bona fide there. He is a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, and a Pharisee. One of the leaders, one of the academians. Paul, or Saul, at this point in time, claims to be God's faithful servant. And all of those bona fides would seem to point to that. I mean, that's pretty good qualifications if you wanted to check it out. And he goes on and includes a persecutor of Christians, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He's done everything just as the law prescribes, one of those scribes. It's one of those days. Let's just bear with him. So Paul is all set. He has dotted all his T's and crossed all his I's, or vice versa. And he's set. He is assured now that he is the right sort of one. There is danger for Christian folk, for religious folk of all kinds, to begin to lean on bona fides like that. Born in the church. We did Ruth Duggan's service, and it was a celebration, but one of the things they mentioned was that her family was part of the family that founded the very first Burns congregation with Dennis Shaw in the garage, two-car garage. Those are bona fides. I mean, a founding member, daughter of the founding member, however you want to phrase that. So those are some bona fides. And how many here were born in this church, baptized in this church, confirmed in this church, married in this church? Those seem to be things that we're dotting all the I's, aren't we? We're about showing how we are the right ones doing everything the right way. But then Paul shoots all that down. That's what he says next. I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. All of those things, all of those accomplishments, all of those ways that we can brag about things are loss. For here is Christ. The bona fides melt away like fog before the sunlight in a bright morning. Perhaps a double term there, sunlight from the sun and sunlight from God's Son. All fade away before Christ. So we have to ask the question, you might have done everything right, but are we perfect enough? Is your faith perfect enough? Oh my. Oh my, how much is enough? Oh my. Believe it or not, I believe that United Methodists worry about this more than anything there is. Is it enough? Am I good enough? Have I done enough? What about the things I've done wrong? And we are not ever forgiving ourselves, but we won't travel down that road too far. We just need to pause and focus on a couple things. That we're moving on to perfection. Amen. I'll let it go this time. We're moving on to perfection. So there's no reason to worry. But is there more we can do? What more can we do? What should we do? Perhaps we should volunteer more at the church or at a homeless shelter or go to visit in the prisons or maybe there's more that we should be doing. Do we feel guilt over that? Are we worried? Is it enough? Fear not. Put that aside. You see, we have it inside out. We're trying to build that list of bona fides like Paul was listing, like Saul was listing. Nalu read the scripture perfectly this morning in the New Revised Standard Version, and most versions, Paul says, I may gain Christ through faith in Christ. But most scholars now argue that there's a better translation. I may gain Christ through Christ's faith. The faith of Christ, that changes everything. Now, my faith, I believe I have a strong faith. Stronger than, less than, who knows? Is it enough? I don't know. But Christ's faith in me, that's entirely different. How can this be? What can this be about? Saul was faithful and perfect in his own standing with the laws and the way he was. And then on the road to Damascus, going on another mission to persecute Christians, to carry on some other lawful and perfect thing to do for under the laws that persecuted that evil sect of Christians, he's knocked to the ground. Christ knocks him to the ground and blinds him. It takes a little bit to get Paul's attention, you understand. We're not like that, are we? Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it isn't something that happened with Saul that helps him see through what's happening. It is Christ that has come to him. It is Christ's faith in Saul, and he becomes Paul. Paul knows it. And Paul is helping us realize it. Paul is helping us turn this thing that was inside out, right side out again. Have you ever got up in the dark or in the hurry or whatever, and you put on a shirt and you go to button and you can't figure out why it won't button, and you realize it's inside out? Anybody else done that? You don't have to confess. I will tell you that I have done that a couple times. Actually, I came to worship once. I had on one black and one brown shoe. Didn't realize that. God dressed in the dark and came, and a woman said, were we all supposed to wear different colored shoes? I almost thought about running with it, but I didn't. Actually, I was close enough. The parsonage was across the street. I walked home and changed. But sometimes we get things inside out. Sometimes we make mistakes. Alas, no. But we get lost and we get confused. And like Saul, we follow what we thought were the right rules and directions and paths, and they lead us astray. That's an important word to use there, astray, because the shepherd seeks those who have gone astray. We've heard the story of the good shepherd last week. We heard the story of the woman who lost one coin, and she pauses and cleans and searches until she finds the lost coin. Or Jesus, who goes and searches until he finds the one of the 100 sheep, the one that has gone astray, and returns him. And celebrates, calls friends and neighbors, look, look, one that is lost has been found. It is the prodigal son returning. So it is not our faith in Christ, it is Christ's faith in us. And we need to sit back and listen to that, and hear that, and understand that. Christ knows us, sheep of his own fold, and we know his voice. And Christ will keep all of his sheep safe, even to leaving 199 to find the one who's lost. Christ will seek us and find us and keep us, because Christ Jesus has made us his own, as Paul says.